The fourth Sunday of Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday, and we read from Jesus' teaching in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. In the Old Testament, the shepherd was one of the major images of Yahweh, the true God of Israel. When I was young in religious education, I had to memorize the 23rd Psalm, which is one of the most well-known expressions of God as shepherd. And by the time the Gospel of John was written, the church clearly understands Jesus' claim to be the Good Shepherd as meaning that Jesus is God. He is claiming now the identity of Yahweh himself. Jesus embodies and makes visible the full reality of God as shepherd of the people. Jesus is the ultimate expression of the love of God as the shepherd who cares for his flock. The letter of Peter talks about the depth of God's love for us. You have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls, who bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. Out of love, God enters into our struggles to free us from them. Jesus' teaching on the Good Shepherd comes right after the healing of the man born blind in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, and it is part of Jesus' critique of the Pharisees that is the underlying theme of this whole miracle. "I am the gate for the sheep," he says. "Whoever does not enter the sheepfold through the gate is a thief and a robber. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name. The sheep will not follow a stranger because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." What is Jesus saying here? Something pretty radical. He says the Pharisees, who are the recognized teachers of the law in the Old Testament, are thieves and strangers who are really not guardians of the sheep, but are rather leading them away from the truth and even causing them, in some cases, to run away from God. And why is that? Because the Pharisees were leading people to follow God out of fear of punishment. So the people want to know whose sin it was that caused a man to be born blind. And the Pharisees always had an answer. There was always a reason that someone suffered because they were guilty of something. But in fact, the whole life of Jesus is a demonstration of the fact that any religion based on fear is blindness. Because the true God, revealed initially in the Old Testament, is love. The Bible does not even stop at saying that God loves people. The Bible says God is love. Fear is at the heart of the condition of sin. Following God out of fear, really doing anything out of fear, leads you to have to decide who are the insiders and who are the outsiders. Who are the people we have to fear because they might bring the anger of God down upon us? Who are the people we have to fear because they're not good enough or pure enough? And Jesus says that this attitude is a betrayal of the mission of the people of God from the beginning. The mission of Israel was never intended to be about separating Israel out as insiders who are against all the other outsiders. The original promise to Abraham was, "Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So the existence of Israel in the world was supposed to be about inviting people to become part of the covenant, to come into relationship with the true God who is love. Yahweh, the true God, is the shepherd who gathers all of the sheep. And who are the sheep? All persons created in the image of God. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 34, a very strong statement of this vision, and maybe actually the source of the Good Shepherd reflection in the Gospel of John. The prophet Ezekiel is criticizing the leaders of the people for their mediocrity, and then we hear this. "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will tend my sheep. I will lead them out from among all the peoples and gather them from foreign lands. On the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing ground. There they shall lie down on good grazing ground, and in rich pastures they shall be pastured on the mountains of Israel. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord. So Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you have lost sight of this. You have lost sight of this mission. You have become blind yourselves. But after the resurrection, this vision of mission is recaptured in the preaching of Peter today, which we read in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. So this invitation for a new life is an invitation for every man and woman created in the image of God. And that means that we, as Christian missionary disciples, must never define ourselves by who or what we are against. We must always share the gospel by courageously speaking about what we are for. And that is something that we have to work on learning from the example of Jesus every single day. The letter of Peter tells us he committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. That's a pretty challenging example to follow. I sometimes can't even follow it when somebody cuts me off in traffic. But to always speak the truth in love is a challenge. It is easy to criticize people, to complain about them, even to insult them. It is easy to divide people into insiders to be accepted and outsiders to be feared. It is comforting to think that God is for us as the insiders and against those outsiders. If we fear losing something, we will be afraid of anyone who might take it away. But that is not the gospel, and that will never lead us to happiness or authentic joy or authentic peace. There are two things that Jesus the Good Shepherd does. First, the shepherd gathers the flock and keeps it together, and the flock that Jesus has been put in charge of is all humanity. And second, the shepherd protects the flock. And if we are confident that we are protected by the shepherd, we will not fear challenges to our faith, and we will not fear other sheep, new sheep, being brought into the flock. And this is why the Second Vatican Council gave us a new definition of the church. The church is sacrament of union with God and the unity of humanity. And that is why the Second Vatican Council took a different attitude toward other Christians and even to people who follow other religions. The council said we should not look at them as outsiders. We should look at them as other sheep who are seeking God the shepherd in their own way, using the resources that they have available to them. And ultimately, the shepherd wants to gather all of us into one flock of a new and united human family through the work of the church. Today, Jesus says, I came so that the sheep may have life and have it more abundantly. In times of difficulty, in times of great social change, in times of personal suffering, we might be tempted to begin to give in to fear. We might begin to look around for who is to blame, for who are the insiders who we should trust, and who are the outsiders who we should fear and avoid. But this is not the way to the abundant life that Jesus promises. The Apostle Paul tells us, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received a spirit of adoption through which we cry out to God as Abba, Father. The Lord is our shepherd, so we want for nothing. Even though we walk in the dark valley, we fear no evil, for the Lord is at our side. And we are also called to the mission of opening to others the gate to a more abundant life. Our shepherd is also the Lamb of God, who has come to transform the sin of the world. Jesus wants his flock to be made up of other lambs like himself, who are willing to give their lives in service to others, to lead them to the truth. So let's commit ourselves to that today as we renew our covenant with the Lord. Through our words and our actions, let us be unifiers and gatherers, bringing all those created by God into a new, united human family.